Again, a precious time in prayer. What a blessing to be able to do that. And it was mentioned next Wednesday night we'll be celebrating our Thanksgiving service. We'll have Thanksgiving Eve, I guess you could call it. You think about Thanksgiving, you may think about smells. What would be some of the smells of Thanksgiving? When you think about Thanksgiving, what are some of the smells that come to mind? Turkey. A turkey cooking in the oven. What was that? Ham cooking in the oven. Pumpkin spice. Maybe a pumpkin pie. Anything else? Sweet potatoes. Mashed potatoes, gravy, dressing, rolls. Let's go. Let's all leave. Now, when you think about all those smells coming together, if you're going somewhere to eat Thanksgiving lunch or dinner and you walk into the door, you walk in and all those smells hit you. Or maybe you're the one that's preparing it, or you're in that place and you're smelling those smells and they're rising and coming in. You know, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Kim said something during our life group study Sunday night that has been on my mind, and I've just thought about it and kind of went to the scripture and have been meditating on this thought of smells. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, one of the many places in the scripture where we read about aromas, and if you want a title for tonight's devotional, it's What's That Aroma? So look at verses 14, 15, and 16 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Really interesting how it starts out. I didn't go to it because of this, but then it struck me. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Paul starts out this little section, really kind of a new paragraph here, and as he does, he starts out with Thanksgiving. Now, they obviously didn't celebrate American Thanksgiving back then or in that location as he wrote to Corinth, but he was thankful. It had nothing to do with a holiday. It had everything to do with God and what God was doing. He gives two specific reasons. One, that God is continually leading us in a triumphal procession, that picture of the Roman general who has had a victory and is coming back to Rome and leading those captives that he has taken. But we're not going to focus on that part. He says, but he's always doing that. He's always leading us along. And it's as if Paul's saying, we're the captives. We've been taken captive by him. And I couldn't desire to be with anyone more than the Lord Jesus and to be captured by him. But the part we want to think about tonight is that second thing that he's particularly thankful for, that through us, that God diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. You know, God is employing us who know Him. He is employing us as fragrance diffusers. Have you ever thought of yourself as a fragrance diffuser? You might say, I've never even thought of a diffuser, much less thought of myself as one. What is a diffuser? Well, you know, some folks here probably use essential oils, and they may use a diffuser to diffuse through the process of diffusion so that aroma just fills a room or an area with that natural fragrance. And notice what the fragrance, what the aroma, what the smell that's diffused, that's spread out. It's His knowledge. Knowledge about the Lord Jesus. It's His knowledge. Knowledge of Him. And notice where the diffusion reaches. Every place. He's leading us in triumphal procession, that's always. And He's using us to spread the fragrance of the Lord Jesus. And He's using us to do that in every place. In John chapter 12 and verse 3, you likely remember the time when the Lord Jesus was there at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in this particular situation in John 12, we read that Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You know, in these verses here, I want to suggest there are three recipients of the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, it is as it is diffused through the lives of believers, through our lives. Firstly, in verse 15, notice that again, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. So first of all, we find that we are the sweet aroma of Christ to God. You talk about the fragrance reaching every place. We're talking about the fragrance reaching heaven. That the fragrance of your life and my life is reaching God in heaven. God appreciates the Lord Jesus. We find in the Old Testament God's appreciation of the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament saints. Back in Genesis chapter 8 and verses 20 and 21, we read that after the flood had receded, that Noah built an altar to the Lord. And he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And verse 21 says, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Yes, that's figurative speech. But God is using that to help us to see that He appreciated that offering. In Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 9, in the instructions for the burnt offerings, we read that the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And there are many, 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 many other references throughout the Old Testament of that sweet aroma of the sacrifices and the offerings rising up to God. And why was that sweet to Him? Was it sweet to smell burning flesh? No, I believe it was sweet for a couple of reasons. One, the sweetness of obedience. But even that would not have mattered had it not been for what the sacrifice and the offering really represented and looked forward to the Lord Jesus. That's what truly pleases God. His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. He was well pleased. He is well pleased. He always will be well pleased. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, we read that we're to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. What an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. The Lord Jesus is a sweet fragrance to the Father. And whenever the fragrance of the Lord Jesus is diffused out of a life, God is pleased. He's well pleased. Because He's well pleased with His Son. And when we allow the life of the Lord Jesus to be lived out through our lives, the aroma of His life is enjoyed by the Father. In Philippians 4:18, Paul wrote that he had received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from the Philippians, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul's not just saying, man, this smells really good to me. Thank you for meeting my needs. No, the fact that you minister to me is well-pleasing to God. It's an offering. And why is it well-pleasing to God? Because it comes from the Lord Jesus. It's all about Him. That's the reason that the Philippians were giving, is because the Lord Jesus had given to them, and they had been given the Lord Jesus, and their hearts were overflowing, and they wanted to minister. And when the fruit of the Spirit, the character of the Lord Jesus, is seen in our lives, the fragrance of Christ is diffused. When we do as Paul challenged us to do in 1 Corinthians 11:1, to imitate Him as He imitated Christ. As we imitate Christ, the knowledge of Christ is diffused. When we walk in love, as we read in Ephesians 5:2, when we exhibit the mind of Christ in humility, Philippians 2. When we allow ourselves by the Spirit of God to be more conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29, and transformed into the image of Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we serve others, as the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and He said, "Now I've done this to teach you a lesson that you could do this for others," in John 13. When we follow His example in the way that we respond to suffering, 2 Peter 2:21. When we are sent into the world and represent Him as He represented His Father, John 20:21. Whenever we smell like the Lord Jesus to the Father, the fragrant offering is sweet to God. How could I be sweet to God? How could God ever be pleased with my self-centered offerings? He said, only as I see the Lord Jesus in you. Only as I see the Lord Jesus in you. And I think really the question is not, do I smell like the Lord Jesus to the Father? I would suggest we all smell like the Lord Jesus to the Father. The question is, how much do I smell like the Lord Jesus to the Father? How much? Oh, what a beautiful picture. So we see that first of all, it's that sweet aroma of Christ to the nostrils of God. And then in the beginning of verse 16, we see another recipient, really a group of recipients here. He talks at the end of verse 15 that it's among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death leading to death. We are the aroma of death to those who were perishing. That word perishing means to be destroyed, to be ruined. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, we read that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, we read that if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Those who were living lives of destruction, self-destruction, or those who were ruining their lives by not choosing the Lord Jesus. And Christ's life, as diffused through our lives, is the smell of death unto death from their perspective. From death. I'd suggest because they're already spiritually dead. To death. They're on their way to what Revelation 20:14 says is the second death, when death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. I thought about that. How does this work? I'm supposed to be diffusing the life of Christ. How could that ever be an aroma of death to someone? I thought about the fragrance of perfume. Think about your favorite perfume, if you like perfumes, and how you love to smell that. And then think about a person who is allergic to perfume. Maybe even some could actually die from being exposed to perfume. Their allergic reaction is so strong. You know, that smell that is so beautiful to one person is actually the smell of death to another person. And to the ones who love that individual, it's the smell of death. When they smell that perfume, it's not like, oh, that smells so good. No, it's the smell of death unto death. And likewise, the person who is unsaved should react to the life of Christ in me with a fear of dying without Him. The fear of dying in their sins. Not because I'm going around with a condemning attitude by the believer. No, they're already condemned according to John 3:18. Rather, the Christ-like character and the Christ-like conversation and the Christ-like actions of the believer should be such a contrast and should be such a light shining into the darkness of the world and the darkness of their heart that to them it's the smell of death to death. I ask myself, am I masking the aroma of Christ in such a way that those who are perishing are not impacted by my life? I'm not diffusing enough of Christ's fragrance that it even impacts them, that they even notice that there's a difference in me. And then finally, the end of verse 16, we're the aroma of life to those who are being saved. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we read that it was according to God's mercy that He saved us. That's past tense. Here and in 1 Corinthians 1:18, we read that we are being saved. It's a present and ongoing condition, not that we are being saved from the penalty of sin. That's been done. That's over and done with. But now we're being saved from the power of sin. God is working in our lives to give us that victory. And one day we're going to be saved. Romans 5 verses 9 and 10 says that we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 13, 11 says our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We're going to be saved from the presence of sin. But to fellow believers, our lives should be, as it were, a breath of fresh air, a fragrance of Christ that thrills everybody who knows Him. You know, I'm not a perfume person, so my wife doesn't wear perfume. She knows I don't really care about it. But if I did, you know, and she had a certain perfume, and I smelled that on somebody else, I wouldn't be attracted to that person. I'd think, man, that's my wife's perfume. So if you don't have a smell, then I'm reminded of my wife. Oh, that's not my wife's perfume. That's my wife's natural smell. Wow. What a privilege it is to be the fragrance of life to other believers as they struggle with the difficulties of life in this fallen world. People are hurting. Believers are hurting. Wow. When they get a whiff of the Lord Jesus off of your life, it's such an encouragement to them, and they're looking forward to the future. What's that aroma? Do you take that privilege seriously, that you're the fragrance of life to life, to the believer? I read a 2008 post, and according to the American Academy of Dermatology, some 5,000 different fragrances and countless other fragrance combinations are used in products today. Now, that's not including the natural fragrances. That's just the ones that humans have put together. But you know, there's one fragrance that we want to come from our lives. And I think about that, all of us, all of our lives corporately, sending out that fragrance of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful aroma to God. What a wonderful aroma to other believers. And hopefully what a convicting aroma to those who do not know the Lord Jesus. You know, all the aromas of Thanksgiving collectively merge to give us a desire to dig in and feast. Who's satisfied just to smell it, you know? We want to eat it. We want to get to be a part of it. May our lives honor God and convict the perishing and cause those who are being saved to rejoice and anticipate being with the Lord Jesus. May we feast on Him, feast on His Word, and diffuse the fragrance of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time in Your Word and in prayer and in singing and in sharing. Lord, we confess, as Paul did, and he closed that verse, who is sufficient for these things? Lord, we think about this privilege, responsibility that You've given us, and we say, Lord, we're not sufficient. How do we do it? How can we be a proper fragrance of the Lord Jesus? And Lord, we hear You tell us to get out of the way. to let the life of the Lord Jesus be lived out through us by the Holy Spirit. Father, may we be filled with Your Word. May we be filled with Your Spirit. Lord, may we allow the Lord Jesus to be seen, to be heard, to be smelled, Father, through our lives. We want You to be honored. We want the believers to be encouraged. We want those we know that don't know the Lord Jesus to be convicted, Father, by the life of the Lord Jesus in us and coming out from us. Thank You for this great privilege and Your wonderful, gracious provision. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank You. The Lord bless you as you diffuse that wonderful aroma. You encourage me.